In fact, while the worship team go down, I'd like to just share something that stirred in my heart this last week. And there's a question that Job posed in Job chapter 9, verse 2. It says, "Indeed I know this, that this is true. But how can mere mortals prove their innocence before God?" How can the righteous prove their innocence before God? It's rather a question that can raise a few eyebrows and maybe even get us a bit uptight sometimes and wonder, how can this happen? But yet, as I was thinking about this, God led me to Luke chapter 1. And you say, "What's the day? This is not Christmas." No, it's not a Christmas sermon that I'm going to preach. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, we read, "Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly." I began to look at this and just think about it for a moment. And Pastor Keith stood up this morning and said, "We've got to be totally devoted. Totally devoted." We all have dreams and goals in our lives. Many of us are waiting for a breakthrough to happen. We want to, the situation that we're facing, we want it turned around. But when these things do not happen as we want them, most of us get frustrated and we lose our joy. You see, we're living in an instant society and we think, "Lord, really, I need your help." And we expect God to provide something instant. God's not an instant coffee. All right? There are reasons for it. And this evening, I want us to realize that there is hope in our waiting. There is hope. And this is the very thing that Job said, "Can mere mortals prove their innocence before God?" is the question that falls in over here that we need to take to heart and begin to analyze it and look at it and say, "Really? How can I prove my innocence when I want something and I'm in the situation that I need a breakthrough and I need it right now?" There's several points that we have to look through, but before we get there, you may have been waiting indefinitely for something. You've even asked God for something very genuine and you seem to be getting no answers for it. You wonder, why am I talking to the ceiling? Is it a brass ceiling that my prayers are not getting through? You know, folk, I believe that as we read Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, we see an elderly couple waiting indefinitely for an answer from God. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. And both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. It's amazing how many old people in the Bible have always wanted children. Did God ever come through for them? And the answer is yes. They had to wait. Some of them were 99, but it happened. Okay. Zechariah and Elizabeth believed and followed God. They did everything right and walked blamelessly in God's presence. However, they never had a child. Might have been old. Their request to God had been a simple prayer that I believe many a married couple has had or may have prayed, O Lord, grant us a child. But for some reason, God remained silent on this issue. Right, Shirley and I weren't that old. Okay, 32 years ago, Timothy, our eldest son, was born. After much heartache, wondering if we'd ever have children, God blessed us. But you know, there was a reason that it had to happen that way. God made a promise to us. I was up on the border, Shirley down here, and God spoke to both of us with the same thing. We had to wait. People were talking, Mother's Day comes, and they say some very nasty things, and you just had to grin and bear it. And I can just imagine Zechariah and Elizabeth, what they went through. Because to be childless was seen as a curse, as a disgrace in their day. A child was a blessing, an inheritance, something that was awesome. But yet they stood and they faced this every single day of their life. Today, maybe you're praying for a breakthrough to happen for a long time. And you're saying, Lord, 2017 has ended, but I still see no changes in my situation. Maybe you're trusting God for a breakthrough in your career, your ministry, about your child, a breakthrough in your family. But deep down, you know that God has spoken that to you. But so often, because it takes a long time and you're not seeing any sign from God, you're getting discouraged. But I want to encourage you today with this. And there are 3 points I'd like to take you through. Trust God when you do not understand. Trust God when you don't understand. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6, it says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. You may be facing a dead-end situation right now, financially, emotionally, or relationships. But if you will trust God, He will make a way for you. He will not leave you, nor will He forsake you. And I stood up in this very church at the end of 2016, and I testified to what God had done for me during that time. Many of us today in South Africa, we have this fear or this dread. We're working our fingers to the bone. We're doing everything. And we're wondering what next, when. And it's even worse when you reach the age of 58, 59. And you know, at 60, they're not even going to look at you, let alone at 58. But you know what God did? He took that whole situation and He turned it around. Because He knew our situation. Because God had given me a promise. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. And folk, today I want to say, if you're praying for that breakthrough, hang on to it. Continue. Push until something happens. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, to be childless often brought a lot of shame and sorrow. Children were considered a blessing, and childlessness was seen as a curse or a disgrace. In fact, Elizabeth called her childlessness a disgrace among the people. She did not understand why. Why was it taking so long? Maybe you're in the same situation, and I'm not necessarily referring to, you know, having children. We can put it into any situation that you have right now. But the Bible says that they were upright in the sight of God. In Luke 1:6, it says, both were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. You see how Job ties into this? How can you prove, as mere mortals, your innocence before God? God is looking at certain people this evening. And I'm not trying to be prophetic here, but I believe that God is looking at all of us. You've been doing the right thing, coming to church, being as good and as kind as much as possible, living a holy life, the best you can. But deep within you, there are disappointments because of unanswered prayer. You don't understand why this is happening to you. You want to encourage. I want to encourage you tonight to trust God even when you do, when it does not seem that things are going to happen and you do not understand. In Proverbs 4:18, and as I went through this verse and I began to read it, it suddenly dawned on me why. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. And before the first gleam of dawn is a long and dark night. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining brighter till the full light of day. Isn't that awesome? It's just such an awesome. As I look down this passage where I can probably think there's the night time behind me in this first gleam of dawn as that sun begins to put its rays above the horizon. You suddenly see the dawn coming. Folk, I believe that we need to take that to heart. If you do not understand, look for that first gleam of the dawn in your life. In spite of being good, you may endure the dark night, totally confused about your future. You just got to trust God and move on. The Bible says, when you do right, your path is like the first gleam of dawn, shining brighter till the full light of day. Keep moving on. God will take those dark nights away and put in your life a place of perfect light. In Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I see seasons of joy and rejoicing coming upon the people of God in Jesus' name. I see it coming, folk. It's coming. It's coming. Be patient. Try and understand why the darkness is there. It's to try and veer you off. Satan trying to take your eyes off that goal, that dream that you have, that prayer that you've prayed. Keep your eyes on the loving God that we serve. Move on. Zechariah not only trusted God when he faced the impossible, but he continued to do good in God's presence. Oh, dear me. Sorry, I just switched the whole thing off. Technology. Their prayers were not answered, but they never gave up on God. Luke chapter 1:8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God. Doesn't that tell you something? Doesn't that tell you something? His prayer hadn't been answered, but he was totally devoted to serving God. And I believe that's what God's calling on each and every one of us. You see, he went to the temple to perform his duties as a priest. In spite of uncertainties, in spite of the shame in the society, Zechariah not only believed God, but kept on doing good. He had the right priorities. And that's the second point, having the right priorities. It's always important to have right priorities, especially when you are waiting for your promise. You see, the problem with us, many of us, is that when things don't work out as we plan, we lose all the joy and we get discouraged in life. Did you notice the one word that I put there? When all things don't go to the plan that we have, we get discouraged. There's no enthusiasm in life. No joy in the family. And our spiritual life takes a beating. Why? Because we're starting to blame God for that which is not happening, which we asked Him for. So often, because of that, many people just up and leave the church. Because they say, where is God? I want to tell you, He's right here next to you right now. He's wanting to hear your prayers. He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Folk, that is so true. He'll never leave you. And then they say, how do I answer people? Nothing is working out. You know what, if nothing's working out, just say God's in charge. In His time. See, that's where we miss out. And I want to say this to us. Don't retire. Don't retire. Don't give up. Keep doing good instead of the bad things happening to you. In spite of the bad things happening. Habakkuk was a prophet who saw so much negativity around him. Do you know what he said? He said this in Habakkuk 3:17-18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. For I will be joyful in God my Savior. Can you say that tonight? Even though your prayers have not yet been answered. God is looking for people like this today. You may be facing a helpless situation, an unanswered prayer, but you can rejoice. You can praise God. You can worship God in spite of that problem that you may be facing. Paul said this from a jail. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He was in prison, shackled, chained up, being beaten every day. But he says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. God has set a time for your breakthrough. But you need, if you need that victory, it's in God's time, not yours. You need to have the right priority. Do you remember the time when Moses sent 12 men out to spy in the promised land? 10 of them came back defeated and said, Moses, we don't stand a chance. There are giants in the land. Look at the priority. Look at their priority. They just saw the size of those men. But there were two men, Joshua and Caleb. What did they say? Yes, there are big people. But we know our God is bigger. We know our God is bigger. There are giants in the land, but our God is a giant killer. We are well able to take the land. Let us go in at once. See, both, all 12 started out from Egypt at the same time. Oh, bad. Sorry. Terribly sorry. That wasn't there. Okay. Oh, that was awful. Sorry. They were facing the same enemy, the same circumstances, the same God. The only difference was their priority. One group was focused on the size of the enemy. The other was focused on the capacity and the strength of our God. And just because the majority had the wrong priority, God said, okay, round the mountain you go for 20 years, another 20 years. In fact, we know the story. Only two of them entered the promised land. Only the two that had their priorities sorted out. You see, Zechariah said, no, even if my prayers are not answered, I will keep the right priorities. I will not lose my zeal. I will do good. I will be blameless. I will worship and serve God. I know God has a set time for my breakthrough. So year after year, he presented himself for temple services. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot. You see, there were so many priests that once in a lifetime they were able to go into the Holy of Holies. They became high priest. So they had that one opportunity to go into the Holy of Holies. When it gets to the day that Zechariah was moving on in spite of his failures. He was chosen by the casting of lots to burn incense in the temple. And as a priest, you only get that one chance in a lifetime. This was Zechariah's day. God had been planning this day from the very beginning. Had Zechariah given up, he would have lost his appointment with God. God uses this climactic moment for Zechariah's career as the priest to make his move. As Zechariah was worshiping in God's presence, suddenly the angel Gabriel stood there next to the altar. In Luke 1:11 through 12, we read this. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear your son, and you will call him John." Gabriel's first words were like a breath of fresh air after such a long time. Today, God is speaking the same message to each and every one of us right here in this place. Maybe you're waiting for a breakthrough. Your life is a mess. Your integrity is being questioned. But you have been faithful to God. God is telling you, fear not. Your prayers have been answered. Today is a day of your deliverance. Praise God. You see, Zechariah trusted God in the impossible and kept his right priority, continuing with his devotion and worship, and God decided to step in. We have the life of Zechariah before us, and now we say, praise God. Some of us are still discouraged because our prayers are not answered. But when God shows you he's part of the story, maybe you are praying for your marriage. Maybe you're praying for a job. What if God says on this, what's today, the 11th? Maybe he says to you on the 12th of February, you're going to have a new job. Are you going to sit there with a long face? No, you're going to get excited. You're going to tell everybody in the room, God just told me on the 12th of February, I'm starting a new job. Eh? See, some spinster really wanting to get married, and God says, the 28th of March, you're going to be married. Do you think you're just going to sit there? You're going to jump around. You're going to go to the dress shop. You're going to go to the hairdresser. You're going to try and do everything all in one day because you're going to be so excited. And folk, this is exactly what it was like for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Here the angel Gabriel stands and says, "Fear not. God says you will have a son." Okay. Believe it or not, God is working out that day for you. Here is where it takes faith to trust God. Folk, we need to trust God. God's promises are there and are set for a time in your future. But He does not tell you when it will be. There's a set time for problems to turn around, a set time for your healing, for your promotion, for your breakthrough. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's next month. Maybe it's next year. But it will come. Don't try and set pressure on God and say, "Hey, I want it now." It's not going to work. Don't try and pressurize God. He's got a set time and there's a reason for it. There's a reason for everything. There's a season for everything. My question is this: do you trust God when you do not understand? Will you continue to worship God like Zechariah? Don't worry, I'm standing on the hot coals over here. But I'm asking myself the question. What if God works? What if God's about to do that work and you just turn around and say, "That's it. I call it a day and I do a B for boogie. I've lost out." And folk, we can't afford to do that. So B for boogie doesn't stand over here. Okay? It's time to worship God when you feel like that. When you feel like your world's going to come crashing down around you. Don't do a W for worry. Do a W for worship and begin to worship God. Begin to get your priorities straight. Begin to do the things that God will find you blameless. Be kind instead of getting all munchkins. Be kind. Be loving. Be awesome. Be that awesome person that God wants you to be. God has a purpose behind your troubles. And I say, "Oh, come on. Why? What purpose is there behind it? If I had to give you everything you wanted right now, would you appreciate it?" No. If you had to wait for it a bit, you'd appreciate it more. God has a reason for your struggles. And when God pays back, He gives double for every trouble that you've gone through. And it does stand like that in the scriptures. Okay? Zechariah was told by the angel not to be afraid, that his prayer has been answered. But why the delay in Zechariah's life? In Luke chapter 1, verse 13 through 17, we read this. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth.'" Isn't that double? Isn't that immediately double? They were just wanting a son, but God says, he'll be a joy, and many will delight because of his birth. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." And we know the story. "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Folk, to me that's more than double. Every parent sitting here tonight would want to see their child being successful. God's saying, listen, I'm not just giving you a child. I'm giving you a son who's going to be great for the kingdom of God. And for every Christian parent, that's our greatest desire, is to see our sons and our daughters successful in the presence of the living God. See, that's double as far as I'm concerned. Angel revealed that Zechariah's son John is going to play a special role in the unfolding of God's eternal plan. He'll be a forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will minister in the Spirit to turn the hearts of the people to God. You see, God had a greater purpose for Zechariah's delay. Zechariah was praying probably to the end, to end his shame. But when God answered, God did not end his shame in the process. He restored the people of Israel. God gave back double for his trouble, more than he could ask. God promised you double for all your trouble. In Isaiah 61 verse 7 it says, instead of your shame you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace you will rejoice in your inheritance. So you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. You see, folk, I'm not thumb sucking this. There it is in the scripture. If you remain faithful to God, if your priorities are to worship God when your prayers are not answered and not do a B for boogie, if your priorities are to spend time in the presence of God, I want to tell you tonight, you will receive double. Job, when he knew, he didn't, his friend said, curse God and die. He said, there's no ways I'll ever do that. And what happened? From a man who was wealthy, he had more than double at the end of his time. There's proof of it in the scriptures for you. Some of you still may not like Zechariah, but I believe that your breakthrough is coming in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I believe it is coming. Does everything seem hopeless to you today? Are you facing an impossible situation at work? Up against an impossible situation in a relationship? Burdened by an impossible situation with your family? Troubled by an impossible situation financially? God has set a time for your situation. And when He answers, He will not only take care of your needs, but it will be a greater and have a greater purpose. Tonight I want to say this. I speak deliverance of God upon you in Jesus' name. I say to you tonight, it is possible. It is possible. And that's the hope that we have while we're waiting for that promise. Folk, Jesus has something special for you. Don't give up. Stand up and begin to worship. Stand up and begin to praise Him. It doesn't matter what you're going through. That is a mountain. A grain of sand. A grain of sand. God has a mountain for you. Don't look at that grain of sand and let it block your view of God's purpose for your life. Amen.